1 Peter chapter 1, when you have it, say agape. Hear ye the word of the Lord, and the scripture reads, since you have in obedience the truth, purify your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. And from this passage of scripture, we want to use as a subject this morning, always and forever, a 2017 love reminder. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Always and forever, a 2017 love reminder. Saints of God, some of the biggest lies that have ever been told have come by way of what we call love songs. Y'all are with me this morning. Biggest lies ever been told by way of love, what we call love songs, always and forever. That's a very long time. Loving you forever. Ever. Somebody know what I'm talking about this morning. Natalie Cole, I love. Stand tall as the trees. We'll always be together because we have our love. Jodeci, forever my lady. Forever, forever my lady. It's like a dream. Just lies. Lies, lies, lies. That's not an always and forever love. Not always and forever love. And so many other songs that tell that lie that we're going to be in love forever. And listen, most of these artists wrote those songs. They don't even know Jesus. So they don't know nothing about a forever love. But the always and forever love that I want to talk about comes from Jesus Christ and Him alone. Have I got a witness in here? We've been dealing with the effects of salvation. The effects of salvation. And when you and I have embraced Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we know what real love is. Now we can really talk about an always and forever love. Because we serve an always and forever God. God existed before the foundations of the world. His word existed before the foundation of the world. And because we are in Him, we understand what real love is. And agape, I've shared it over and over again. God has put it in my spirit that every year, I've got to have one love reminder for the church. Because that's who we are. We're Agape Christian Church. I've shared it over and over again. It's got to be more than just a name. You in the t-shirts, you see all the t-shirts around that have agape on them. Listen, it has to be more than just a name. It has to be more than just a t-shirt. We've got to live out what we're wearing and what we're saying. Are y'all with me this morning? Can't just be lip service. We've got to understand this thing. And we need love reminders along the way. Because people of God, we forget. We're human beings. We forget sometimes. We don't remember sometimes that we're supposed to display agape love. Agape love, and this is the effects of our salvation by the mere fact that you and I are saved. Now we have the ability to display agape love because we're saved. And this text right here gave us another reminder. I almost missed it this year, but God led me right to this passage and said, you know what? We have not had a love reminder this year. So I'm here to give a love reminder for 2017, always and forever. So first and foremost, number one, you and I, we must have a genuine love for the brethren. Say genuine. A genuine love for the brethren. Look at the scripture, verse 22. It says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. So number one, we have to have a genuine, sincere love for the brethren. And so the question comes up, who are the brethren? Who's the brethren? Who's the brethren? Well, he answers that in the first part of it. It says, since you in obedience to the truth purified your souls. Obedience to the truth. What truth? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. In obedience, when you and I and those of us that are in Christ, when we said yes to Jesus, we were being obedient. We embraced the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. And when we embrace that gospel truth, something happened on the inside of us. Our souls were purified. Are y'all with me this morning? Our souls were cleansed. Our souls were purified. Now, the soul, understanding that word, the soul, we as human beings, we are a trichotomy. We are made up of body, which is our flesh, soul, and spirit. The soul aspect of our bodies allow us to connect with the rest of God's creation. We're able to connect with each other. We're able to connect with animals and other beings because of our soul. The spirit that's in us, that other third part of our bodies, of who we are as human beings, allows us to connect with God. Y'all with me this morning? So we're a trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. And our souls have been purified. Now before Christ, our interactions with other people sometimes could get rocky because that soul hadn't been cleansed yet. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Before Christ, those BC days, that soul, the ability to interact with other people sometimes would not function the way God intended for it to function. But then when we met Christ, when we were obedient to the truth, our souls have been purified. And what happens when the soul has been purified and when we've said yes to Jesus Christ, what happens, we all become part of one big family. Are y'all with me this morning? Listen, those of us that are in Jesus Christ, we are family now. Y'all remember Sister Sledge? We are family. Those of us that say yes to Jesus Christ, we are all now in the same family. That's why when we see each other, you say brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, because we are family. We are family. We are family. And he says, our souls, we've been purified, and we are to love the brethren with a sincere love. A sincere love. As a matter of fact, the word love is not agape love in this verse 22. It's not agape love in that first part of verse. It's called the Philadelphia type of love. You heard Philadelphia, the city of what? Brotherly love. The city of brotherly love. And so that's the love that's being displayed. It's a love for your brethren, those that are of the same family. We all part of the same family. And so we have love for each other as family members. As family members. But he says to have a sincere love for the brethren. That's why I'm working my way to. In other words, our love for each other has to be real. Our love for each other has to be real. We're family. We're family. Listen, we cannot be fake with each other. Are y'all with me this morning? See, we've gotten real good with acting. See, when you the word hypocrite, Bible says love is to be without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. In other words, time is out for us to come in here and fake it. Are y'all with me this morning? See, we need to be real in our love with each other because we're family. Family, we keep it real. Somebody say keep it real. Listen. God gave me the sweetest illustration of what he really wanted us to grasp. I was with a brother from the Congo this past week, and we were sharing. He shared with us of what the ministry that he's doing over in the Congo, and God is doing a work over there. The gospel has never really been preached in these areas, and the gospel is going forth in a mighty way. Well, this couple got saved. And once they got saved, the woman was in an adulterous relationship. She was in an adulterous relationship before her salvation. But when she got saved, she went to her husband. She went to her husband on her knees, and she confessed this sin to her husband. Because now she's saved. She's taking off the mask. She's getting rid of all of the fakeness. And so she goes to her husband on her knees. And she confesses this to her husband. Well, the husband, now you got to understand, pride is a big thing. Pride is a big thing. But the husband is now saved too. And so what the husband does, the husband lays his hands on her. And he says, baby, I forgive you. Forgive you. I forgive you. And he let it go. He dismissed the whole thing. But that the woman didn't stop there. She didn't want to be fake. She wanted to be totally free. She wanted to be totally transparent. So she shared with the pastor. She said, you know what? I want to go before the church. This is what she shared. I want to go before the church because I don't want anybody else saying anything negative about my past. When I come to church, I want to be real. I don't want to fake it. I want to be real. And she went before the church and she announced her sin. She announced her sin and the church embraced this woman in love. Now, you know what? Now let me tell you something. I guarantee you when Sunday morning came, I bet you that woman worshiped God like never before. Like never before. I'm going somewhere. See, I believe we really don't worship like we should worship because we got on masks. Because we hadn't been set free. Because we're faking it. And time is out. Time is out for we, the people of God, to stop faking and be real. And then to be real with each other. See, now listen. See, she understood that once she got free, she'd be able to help someone else get free. Are y'all with me this morning? And as Christians, we need to quit fronting like we've had it together all of our lives. Because somebody needs to know your story. Somebody needs to know what you've been through. Someone needs to know that just because you look the way you look now, you haven't always looked that way. You have not always carried yourself that way. We've got to stop being fake and love each other with a genuine love. A genuine love, a genuine love. That's what agape is all about. We can't come in here fronting. Don't come in here fronting. We need to be real with each other. A sincere love for the brethren. We owe it to each other to be sincere with it. Don't listen. When you tell me something, mean it. Don't just be saying it just to be saying it. Mean it. We're talking about real love. Talking about real love. And you and I, we need to understand that. Listen, we ought to be able to speak the truth in love to each other. Come on, somebody. Listen. Brother walking around, you know they jacked up. And you don't say nothing to them and tell them about themselves. Come on now. If you see your brother or your sister doing something they shouldn't be doing, you don't go talk about it. That's not real love. That's not sincere love. That's not genuine love. Genuine love goes up to that brother, goes up to that sister and say, because I love you, I want to bring something to your attention, brother, sister. That's genuine love. All that other stuff is fake, going behind each other's back. That's not real. That's not real. But we ought to be able to go to our brother and sister in love and tell them their faults. That's what the Bible says. In Matthew's gospel, he tells us, go to your brother and tell him his fault. And hopefully he'll hear you. And if he hears you and you win your brother, praise God. But if he doesn't listen to you, take two or three witnesses. Go get some more family members. Go get more family members. Say, we got a brother that's out of line right now. And we love him too much to just let him go. And what we need to do is we need to go to this brother in love and show him his fault. The Bible says when two or three go to this brother, if he still don't listen, then he says, bring him before the church. We're talking about the love of God. This is the love of God being displayed. Now the love of God, the whole church, and in agape, we have elders who represent the entire church. And so all the elders ought to go to that brother, go to that sister and say, sister, brother, we've observed that this is your issue. And our prayer is that you will repent and leave it alone so that we win you back to Christ. And hopefully that brother or sister at that point in time will say, thank y'all for loving me enough to come to me. But if they refuse to listen, even to the church, the Bible says we ought to treat them as a tax collector and an unbeliever. And Jews despise tax collectors. But as an unbeliever, in other words, that person is not willing to repent. And from that moment on, you don't treat them as a brother no more. You know why? Because they're not willing to repent. and they're displaying behavior as of an unbeliever. Now they go from one category to another category. They're no longer a brother, they're unbelievers. And this is how we ought to treat those who fail to repent. But look at how much love is being displayed trying to win that brother or sister to Christ. Look how much love. Go as an individual, take two or three witnesses, come before the church, reaching out, trying to win each other. That we owe each other that. We owe each other the truth. Now here's the flip side of it. If somebody come to you when you in a fault and they tell you your fault, instead of getting angry, instead of getting mad and start tripping and all of that, listen, you need to say, thank you, brother, for loving me enough to tell me my fault. We dish it, but we also take it. But we've got to love each other with a genuine love for the brethren, This is critical. Look, Matthew 12. Let me show y'all something. Matthew 12, 47 through 50 said, then one said to him, speaking to Jesus, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples, and said, here are my mother, here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Listen, we're family because we have the same Father. Are y'all with me this morning? You can't call everybody brother. Listen, see, our love goes beyond color. Our love goes beyond social status. Our love goes beyond fraternity, sorority. Our love goes beyond that. If they don't know Jesus, they not your brother. If they don't know Jesus, that ain't your brother. Amen. Listen, we have to understand that. We got to understand that. And listen, as family, we have to get along. We have to get along with each other. We got to look out for each other. And then we got to fellowship with each other. Amen. See, we have small groups to cultivate fellowship. We have small groups to cultivate fellowship. Small groups give you an opportunity to really get close with other members. And people say, well, I don't want to be part of a big church. Well, if we have small groups, well, let me say, thank you, Lord. Let me say it like this. You already part of a big church. Amen. If you in Jesus, you are part of the church. Amen. You are part of the church. You already part of a big church. So all that stuff, throw that out the window. But we've given an opportunity for members to connect with each other in small groups. And it's a sad thing if you walk around here talking about they unfriendly at that church. Or don't nobody speak to them. No, that's on you. That's on you. We got men's group, women's group, married couples group. We got youth ministry classes for all of the kids to connect with each other. Young adult ministry for everybody to connect. If you feel unloved, it's because you are not being loving. That's real. That's real talk. That's real talk. But listen, we have to understand. Those that do the will of the God, that's my brother. Oh, the Father, that's my brother. That's my sister. We are family. We are family, and we've got to understand that. We've got to understand it. We got to fellowship with each other. That's what I love. The early church fellowship. Come on now, they fellowship. And our small groups, they get together, boy, they laying out spreads in those small groups. Come on, somebody say, sure is. Lay it out. Potluck, everybody bringing food to come eat, the fellowship. That's what the early church did. They had everything in common. Nobody lacked. Oh, listen, even in the small groups, you ought to be sincere enough. You ought to be genuine enough in your small group to go to your small group and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. And the small group ought to be able to come together and take care of that need and to minister to that person. And if it's too much, then we come to the church, and then the church will do our part to take care of that need, whatever it is. God has designed an incredible thing, y'all, if we would operate according to his word. If we would operate according to his word. But we ought to meet each other's needs. We ought to fellowship with each other, inviting each other, overcooking for each other, throwing those, pulling those recipes out with all that good stuff that y'all know how to do. Thank you. Go look. Oh, Sister Donna, Sister Donna, Sister Donna. Listen, listen. We Sister Donna, God has gave her this God idea to create Agape's recipe book. All right. I knew. And listen, if you got a recipe, you have one of those recipes, you ain't shared with anybody. I ain't gonna say what's in my mind right now, but that ain't right. You ought to be willing to share that. This, we're family. We're family. We gotta spread this love around with each other. Amen. Listen, listen, that's critical. That's critical. To do that. Listen what Galatians 6:10 says. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let us do good to all, but especially to those who are the household of faith. And so we have to understand that brotherly love is only within the family, within the family. This is special what we have here because we're family. Amen. We must have a genuine love for the brother. And that tells us who we are to love. Number two, we must have a fervent love for each other. Say fervent. Fervent love for each other. Look what it says in the latter part of verse 22. It says, fervently love one another from the heart. Ooh-wee. This is where we go deep, 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 deeper. Fervently love one another from the heart. Now, he told us we'd have a genuine love for the brother, and that's family. But now he says fervently love each other from the heart. The word fervently, beloved, means to stretch to the fullest limit. That's what fervently means. To your muscle capacity, as far as you can go. That's how we are. It's to go all out in our love. It's never ceasing. It's a continuous, stretched out kind of love for each other. We're to fervently love each other from the heart. You know what? In the garden, the Bible says that Jesus agonized in prayer, so much so that he began sweating drops of blood. This is what we're trying to paint this picture firmly. We are to agonize in our love toward each other. Let me say it another way. Y'all working me. In other words, we ought to love each other till it hurts. Amen. Till it hurts. You're talking about stretched and wide. Stretched him wide. That's how much he loved us. They stretched him wide. And when it means fervent love, that's what we've got to have. That, now, that's the agape love. That's the agape love. That's the word that's used. Two different words of love. The first one was Philadelphia love, brotherly love. Now, this one is agape love. Now, this is what's amazing about this is that we can only have the Philadelphia type of love with each other. But we can have agape love with everybody. Are y'all with me this morning? We have agape love with everyone. That's how you and I got saved. It was because of agape love. It's because of agape love. But in the context of each other, in the church, in the body of Christ, we ought to love each other with an unconditional love. And it should hurt. We should agonize in making sure that we love each other. Making sure that we love each other. There is no greater love. No greater love. Loving someone until it hurts. Until it hurts. That we owe it to each other. I'm going to do everything I can. And really, it's an act of the will. Ooh. The love I'm talking about is an act of the will. See, it was God's will to love sinners like you and me. We didn't have nothing to give God. We didn't have anything to offer God. Nothing. We were dead in our sins. We were dead in our trouble. We had nothing to offer God, but it was God's will to love us. And that same love you and I ought to have with each other. We have to will ourselves to love each other. See, that throws the window out, throws out the window that thing about I ain't there yet. Come on now. Listen, I counsel a lot. I do a lot of counseling. I do marital counseling. I do just all kinds of counseling. And it's amazing when I talk to people who say they know Jesus, say they know Jesus, that will turn around and say, Pastor, I ain't there yet. Get there. Hurry up and get there. Amen. Can I help you hurry up and get there? Can I help you hurry up and get there? Go to the cross. Go to the cross. If you can't get there, start thinking about the nails in Jesus' hands. Start thinking about how they beat him beyond recognition. Start thinking about the crown of thorns that they placed on his head. Start thinking about the fact that he never sinned in his life. He never did anybody wrong. If you having a problem getting there, start thinking about Jesus. He'll help you get there real quick. He'll help you get there real, real quick. If you talking about, I can't love, you don't understand what happened. You don't know what they did to me. Stop that. Look what they did to him. Look what they did to him. Fervent love for each other. That's the kind of love we need to have for each other. A love that's unconditional. It's not based on what you do. Don't. It's not based on that. It's unconditional love. Agape love. Say agape. No, say it like you mean it. Yes, yes. Jesus, he agonized. He agonized. And we need to understand that 1 Peter 4:8 says it like this. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, he says, love each other from the heart. From the heart. And so the question comes up, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? God gave me another illustration on this yesterday. My brother Chucky's in town from Houston. Not biological brother, but we've been brothers since we were little boys. But he said he was at the car wash. And he was getting his car washed, and some way, somehow, a whole bunch of people went ahead of him, and he was trying to figure out what happened. And so at that time, he said, man, I really want to go talk to the manager and kind of check him. He said, but I just have to calm myself down. And so he said he finally went to the manager, He said, sir, how did I end up way in the back? And so the guy started apologizing, saying, sir, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. But Chucky said he was a little upset at this time because we had somewhere to be. And so anyway, long story short, the guy said, well, what can we do? What can we do to help you out? And so Chucky said, well, do what's in your heart. He said, do what's in your heart. And Chucky said, well, I'm a Christian. And then the man said, well, I'm a Christian too. So I'm a Christian too. He said, tell you what, we're going to go ahead and take care of it. Don't even worry about pain. Don't even worry about pain. But the point is, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? What's in your heart? When you've experienced Jesus Christ and he lives in your heart, it should be easy to love. Because he says, love each other from the heart, you all. That's why it's critical to have him in your heart. And sometimes I really wonder, in the church, is Jesus really in the heart of some of the people who sit in the church? Ooh. Is he really in your heart? I mean, y'all, come on. Come on. You get to talking to some people that say they Christian, you be like, really? Really? From the heart. From the heart. And so we understand that we've got to love each other from the heart with a fervent love. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Ooh, listen, y'all. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's deep. Did y'all see that? Lay down our lives for the brethren. Lay down our lives for the brethren. So look, we talked about who we are to love. Talk about how, with a fervent love, but why? Peter, it's almost like Peter anticipated that the people were saying, well, I heard what you said about genuine love, and I heard what you said about fervent love and laying down my life and all that. And it's almost like Peter knew that they were getting ready to ask, yeah, Peter, all you're telling us all this, but why? Why should we do that? It's almost like Peter's already ready to give him an answer in this next verse. Verse 23 says this: for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Lastly, number three, as Christians, we can love each other with an eternal love. We can love each other with a what? With a what? An eternal love. Now he shows us why we should love the way he's already commanded us to love. Because we have love within us. We have an eternal love living within us. Listen, look what he says. For you have been born again. You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. Imperishable. Listen, see, our new birth compels us. Our new birth, being born again, compels us to love each other unconditionally. Because, see, we've been born not a perishable seed, but imperishable. That's eternal. Are y'all with me this morning? See, there's an aspect of us now. God has already placed eternity in our hearts. I have eternal life right now. If you in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life right now. Amen. Right now. And that's why it's important. He says, when you've been born again, you have the ability to give this kind of love. And you ought to want to give this kind of love because you've been born again. Young man, young woman, anybody that's single, that's thinking about getting married, first question you got to ask them when they say, I love you and I want to be with you always and forever. But you got to say, have you been born again? Have you been born again? You better ask that question before we start talking about always and forever. See, if you haven't been born again, you can't be with always and forever. Because the love I have is an eternal love. The love that's inside of me is an always and forever love because I've been born again. If they have not been born again, they don't know nothing about love. Ooh, y'all better hear me this morning. Before you say I do, they better say I've been born again. Oh, hear me this morning. You can't have real love until they've been born again. They don't know what real love is. That's the problem with our society. People are getting married and going before the altar, making this covenant with God, and they don't know Jesus. And think when things get tough, see, we're talking about agape love. When things get tough, it's easy for them to walk away. Because they don't know what real love. Real love stays there. We've been talking about that in men's group. Men's real love stays there. Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? Go to the cross. He didn't come down. Man, you can't just come down. Man, you just can't walk away. Jesus stayed on that cross. Jesus took those nails. Because of his love. We got men coming down off the cross left and right. I'm through. I can't take this no more. Pull one arm off. I can't take this no more. Take their feet. And walk away. Walk away. That's not love. That's not real love. You better ask them, have you been born again? Do you know real love? Real love stays there. Oh, real love don't come down. Real love can take some nails. Real love can take a crown of thorns sometimes. You better be able to take. He better be able to take it before you say I do to him. Amen. Men bailing out. Bailing out. But listen, we've been born with an imperishable seed. We're eternal, eternal. Then he goes on, he says, through the living and abiding word of God. Through the word of God. See, we know we have salvation because God told us we have salvation. Through the word of God. The word of God. Listen, y'all don't understand what I'm saying. See, we have an eternal love because the word of God has told us we have an eternal love. Are y'all with me this morning? It says, by the living, abiding word of God. Y'all looking at me? Let me share something with y'all. Let me show y'all what I'm talking about. See, our love for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ will transition from here to glory. Transition from, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop on this side. Our love for each other is an eternal love because we have an eternal God by his spirit living on the inside of us. That ought to make you shout right there. That we have an eternal love inside of us, that it doesn't stop on this side. It transitions to the other side. Since y'all don't believe me, let me show you what I'm talking about. In 1 Thessalonians, I'm talking about the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, it says this. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Here it is right here. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. He said, this we say by the word of the Lord. Now listen, the word of the Lord is sure. As a matter of fact, you can count on the word of the Lord. Now somebody else may tell you something and it may not ever happen. Don't hold your breath when man tell you certain things. But the Bible says by the word of the Lord that those who have fallen asleep in Jesus will by no means precede. We won't precede them who have already fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Y'all, that's an eternal love. That's an always and forever, Lord. It says, and so we shall be forever with the Lord. That's one of those things that I start thinking about that song. That's one of those kind of loves. We'll be with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You know why? You know why we have an eternal love? Because we serve an eternal God. And Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. He hung there. He died for you and me. They put him in a borrowed tomb. Put him in a borrowed tomb. Stayed there Friday. Stayed there Saturday. Stayed there Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. But I'm so glad that's not how the story ends. He's coming back to take us home with him. We have an eternal love by the word of God. Word of God. Word of God. Word of God. Listen, listen, saints of God. That's always and forever. Always and forever. And that's a love reminder. A love reminder. A love reminder for 2017. Let's love each other with a sincere love. Let's be real with each other. Let's love each other with a fervent love. Let's go all out for each other. Go all out for your brother. Go all out for your sister. This is real love, real love. And because we have eternity, in our hearts because we've been born again. Because we've been born again. Let's practice. Let's practice down here what we're going to do up there forever. Amen. God, thank you so much, Lord.